Welcome to Books and Beer. I am your host, Michael Malone. The murder of a promising young painter blew up the charming calm of Tarrytown, New York. Like many young artists, he was temperamental, prone to lashing out to critics of his work, but also showing kindness and warmth to those who knew him. The painter, named Danny Bogart, was poisoned in his studio. The media did not report the story because, well, it didn't really happen. But it's the premise of the novel The Ice Cream Shop Detective, in which an artist, as well as a detective, aim to solve a complicated crime from a cozy ice cream shop on Tarrytown's main drag. We'll meet its author, Ronnie Levine, and we'll sample a couple beers from the greater New York area, the Farmer's Table from Kent Falls Brewing in Connecticut, and the Citra Sunshine Slacker from Evil Twin, distributed out of Brooklyn. Ronnie Levine, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
Good. Tell us about the book.
Well, the book grew out of my experience painting outdoors and especially my time in Tarrytown when I met a police detective who was very popular in town and also liked art. And I painted a mural for his family's ice cream shop and got to know him a little bit. He used to come in after his regular job. And I got the idea, well, what if the police detective needed the help of an artist? Maybe something happened in town, and he decided to ask her for her expertise. Mm-hmm. It also grew out of my talking to people as I painted on the street, because I found that there was much more interest in traditional painting than you would expect from what's happening in the art world as we see it in the media.
Yeah. So you're setting up your easel on the sidewalk and mm-hmm. just picking a beautiful old building or some mm-hmm. sort of streetscape and painting away.
Yeah, as I have my protagonist do, I came to Tarrytown not knowing a soul, and I had seen a book of historical photos and had driven through Tarrytown for years, you know, Sunday drives and all that, and I thought it was beautiful, but I hadn't really stopped there. And then I saw this book of historical photos, drove through, saw that some of the buildings are still there and yeah. look pretty much the same. And I thought it was just charming. So I was a little nervous when I first set up. You're never sure whether people are going to find you in the way or not. But mm-hmm. after a couple of days, people kept coming up to me. People started coming up to me. And some of the people were from Main Street Suites, the family that owns Main Street Suites, which was one of the buildings I was painting.
Is that the ice cream shop?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the ice cream shop. It's, about a block down from the music hall towards the river. And they were very friendly. They were very enthusiastic about what I was doing. And that's what happens to Lissa. She starts getting involved with people and they care about her painting.
Mm-hmm. Lissa, main character in the book.
Yes, the okay. artist protagonist who is the first person narrator. So we see it through her eyes. It's her worldview.
Okay. Some well-drawn, rich characters in the book. As I mentioned, the temperamental young murdered artist and some pretty snooty art critics and really a range of characters. Are they based on real people besides the detective?
There's one, there's Chris. Somebody modeled after Chris Rising, who was a singer-songwriter in town, who I felt hadn't gotten enough credit in his life and mm-hmm. wanted to honor him by putting him in there. And also, the memorial service for Danny takes place in the Tarrytown Theater, which is really the music hall, the Tarrytown Music Hall.
Of
and
course.
It was, the inspiration for that was a memorial service that was held there for the man who saved it, the father of the woman who runs it now with her husband. And it gave me the idea of setting it there. So I have somebody like her come on stage to introduce the people. As far as the curators and the professor, no, I made them up. They
okay.
are really from my idea of what I read about at the top of the art field.
Okay, but one would certainly recognize buildings in the book, as you mentioned, Tarrytown Music Hall and what's the name of that little dive bar, the Setback Inn, is
it? Setback Inn, which I call the Settle Inn.
The Settle Inn,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. So how long have you been making that trip up to Tarrytown for?
Since 2001.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I have an art studio there now.
Okay.
I think since 2004. I just fell in love with it and found the people so wonderful. There's something almost magical about Tarrytown somehow. I just feel good when I get there. So even though I may stray, maybe paint somewhere else every once in a while, I'm mostly based in Tarrytown.
Tarrytown is your muse?
It is. It's just beautiful, and I never get tired of it. And of course, many artists have done the same subject. Everything changes with season, time of day, weather. And one great thing about painting outdoors is that you can start a painting and it can change as you go along because you see something you didn't see. If you work from a photo, you freeze a moment in time, mm-hmm. and you know that's it. In my painting, people walk into it. People see me painting and they sometimes ask if they can be in it.
Oh, really?
And if it happens to be at the right moment, I say, sure, that's great. Right. So,
painting bombing as opposed to photo bombing, I guess. we got to go to a break here, but we're going to speak much more with Ronnie Levine, author of The Ice Cream Shop Detective, here on Books and Beer.
With Fox News commentary, here's Fox News Radio's Todd Starnes on 1460 WVOX.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next.
Whether you're looking to refinance or purchase a new home, Ditech makes finding the right mortgage at a low Ditech rate quick and easy for you. Ditech's home loan specialists take you through three easy steps. Simply get started, get approved, and get your loan. Call Ditech at 844-3-DITECH and speak with a home loan specialist now. 844-3-DITECH. That's 844-334-8324. Ad refers to first mortgage loans. Terms, conditions, and limitations apply. Call for details. Ditech Financial LLC, located in Fort Washington, PA, NMLS number 1057. Equal housing lender, licensed in most states.
The folks who make Doritos and Cheetos are jumping into bed with gay activist Dan Savage. Frito-Lay announced they're launching a new product, rainbow-colored Doritos. They say the proceeds will fund It Gets Better, a nonprofit started by Mr. Savage, a vulgar anti-Christian bully. By radio rules, I'm not even allowed to repeat some of the disgusting words he's called people of faith. Republican presidential candidate Mike Huckabee says he's shocked that Frito-Lay would associate themselves with a hate group. It appears that Frito-Lay, though, would rather do business with the likes of Dan Savage than America's good church-going people. Look, it's not my business where you dip your Dorito, but as for me and my house, I can promise you this, not a single Frito, not a single Cheeto, until Frito-Lay stops giving money to a bunch of godless sickos who bash Christians. I'm Todd Starnes.
A radio station where the call letters really mean something. Vox Populi, the voice of the people.
They really seem to care more than any other station.
AM 1460, WVOX.
Recently, some people have had questions about the plants that generate our electricity here in New York. You have a right to know the facts about one of the most important providers of power to our area. Did you know that Indian Point provides about a quarter of the electricity for New York City and Westchester, with virtually no emissions and at lower cost? Indian Point's operations are constantly reviewed to ensure safety by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. It's among the most thoroughly reviewed nuclear energy facilities in the country. And that there are multiple federal inspectors on site, and the law guarantees them access to any document, any employee, and any portion of the facility. That's accountability, every day, all the time. I'm Teresa Motko, and I'm an engineer here at Indian Point, and my family and I live in the area. All of us have a right to know why Indian Point is right for New York. Visit writefornewyork.com for answers.
In the north end of New Rochelle, you'll find an absolutely top-notch printer, one of the very best in the entire county. Frank Maselli's Minuteman Press is known for its fine work far beyond the Sound Shore area. In fact, this particular Minuteman Press is easily the class of the fleet when it comes to full-service community printers. Located just off North Avenue in New Rochelle in the narrow Waikagill walkway across the parking lot from the A&P, Frank Maselli's Minuteman Press is a terrific resource for individuals and small to medium-sized companies who want something very special when it comes to printing. No matter how big or how small your needs, you get great skill and creativity from Maestro Maselli's master printers, all for very reasonable prices. From business cards to brochures, color copies, high-speed printing, informational booklets, and flyers, it's Minuteman Press. Down that walkway when you're heading to the A&P, offering quality printing at very good prices. Call Frank Maselli at Minuteman Press of New Rochelle, 914-576-0335. 914-576-0335.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5 after 8 in the morning, we invite you to listen to Wartburg Moment, where in 60 seconds you can hear what Wartburg Senior Care can offer. And Wartburg Senior Care offers a great deal. Wartburg Moment is simply a way to briefly tell you what a great difference a community of hope and of healing can make in one's life. Wartburg Moment will bring you information on compassionate senior care, independent living, and integrated senior care services. You will hear in these weekly moments all about Meadowview Assistant Living and, of course, spiritual care. You will learn that senior living at Wartburg in their beautiful landscape grounds is quite wonderful. You'll hear about Wartburg's great care offered at their award-winning nursing home and new rehabilitation center. So listen every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5 after 8 in the morning to Wartburg's Moment and hear what you really need to know about Wartburg Senior Care. It's 60 seconds well worth listening to.
WVOX.
With business news at 20 past the hour, here's the latest update from the Fox Business Network on 1460 WVOX.
From the Fox Business Network, U.S. stocks opening little change today. Positive economic data from Europe helping soften the impact of weak Chinese factory data. All three indicators opening up slightly. European stocks rose today as Volkswagen's stock stabilized. It had taken a nosedive following admissions that the company rigged emissions data. JCPenney taking the next steps at repositioning itself, the company's new CEO naming a new chief merchant ahead of the holiday season. The chief merchant is the person who is responsible for picking the right items to fill the store as a key position in the company. It's now legal for you to sing the happy birthday song in public. A judge ruling that none of the companies that have collected royalties to the song over the past 10 years holds a valid copyright claim. With the Fox Business Report, I'm Gary Baumgartner.
Whether you're looking to refinance or purchase a new home, Ditech makes finding the right mortgage at a low Ditech rate quick and easy for you. Ditech's home loan specialists take you through three easy steps. Simply get started, get approved, and get your loan. Call Ditech at 844-3-DITECH and speak with a home loan specialist now. 844-3-DITECH. That's 844-334-8324. Ad refers to first mortgage loans. Terms, conditions, and limitations apply. Call for details. Ditech Financial LLC, located in Fort Washington, PA, NMLS number 1057. Equal housing lender, licensed in states.
There's always something happening on 1460 WVOX.
WVOX.
Good morning. Welcome back to Books and Beer. I am your host, Michael Malone. Very happy Yom Kippur to listeners out there. And my kids are not at school today. So if they are listening, hello to Gavin and Charlotte. If they are not, they should be. We had the chance to sample the Evil Twin Citra Sunshine Slacker. It's a 16-ounce can of beer. It's brewed up at Two Roads, which we've sampled here in the show before, and it is distributed out in Brooklyn. Evil Twin is it's a Danish brewer. I'm going to mangle his name. I apologize in advance. I'll just take a shot here. Heppe Harnit Bergso. And again, I know I got that way wrong, but a very daring young brewer, really making a name for himself through Evil Twin. Ronnie, you had a very interesting observation that this beautiful color of the beer, it's a real lovely gold, actually matches the font on the cover of your book.
Huh? Yes, it's pretty much the same color as my title. So, of course, it wins my heart right away.
Okay, well, that is obviously why I picked this beer today. Ronnie, you said you're not a real big beer drinker, so we're not going to expect you to dole out the fancy adjectives here. But what'd you think? Did you like the beer?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think it's a nice hearty flavor, and you could taste the citrus in it. I think it's an interesting drink. I would certainly have it again.
Okay, good. Yeah, like I said, a beautiful gold color, definitely some citrusy notes, a foamy head, and really not a lot of bitterness. They call it a session IPA. It's, I think, a 4.5% alcohol. So relatively low alcohol, and it doesn't really taste terribly hoppy to me, almost more like a kind of a hearty pilsner. But one thing that struck me for this time of year, and it is the first day of fall, I believe, but a beer that kind of straddles the two seasons, something with the citrusy notes that would work for summer, something with a little bit of that more that IPA characteristic that works for fall. So Evil Twin offers up a very hard to follow description of the beer that actually teaches you very, very little about the beer. But here's what it says. And the beer is a he, apparently. Despite his bitterness, lack of power, and insuperable aversion to any kind of extravagant labor, he kind of has a charming charisma, and perhaps he is even lovable. Somehow we find him unbelievable, irresistible, and stimulating because he is one of the few that masters the ability to effortlessly impress with his sharp intelligence and make it look so damn easy. I have no idea what that means. All right, so back to painting and writing and the wonderful marriage of the two in The Ice Cream Shop Detective. Ronnie, you put this out yourself. You self-published, yep?
I did. I did it through CreateSpace and Amazon, and I designed it myself. I was able to follow their directions, and I think it looks halfway decent.
The cover
apparently attracts attention because they tell me in stores people do look at it, and a lot of them, when they see it, they buy it. So that's great.
Well, you're kind of bearing the lead here. It is your painting that appears on the cover here, yes?
It is my painting. It is adapted from a painting of Main Street Suites. I changed the name. I photoshopped the name to Bellini's, and I made part of it black and white just for the purpose of the cover. That painting is on my website. The painting is also on my Facebook page, Ronnie Levine Art, if anybody wants to see that.
Okay.
And I understand you self-published also.
I have. Very nice of you to throw me a question. Nobody ever asked me about my work. I appreciate that. Yes, I've got a trilogy of very loosely connected novels. It's called the Tompkins Trilogy, set around Tompkins Square Park. And the first one came out a couple years ago. It's called No, Never, No More. Second one is about, its protagonist is a runaway homeless kid in Tompkins. It's called When I Was Punk. And fingers crossed, the third one comes out in about a month or so, and that one is called Betsy Town. And one thing, that one is split between Lower East Side and Elizabeth, New Jersey, where the name Betsy Town comes from. And my experience with self-publishing is you kind of lean on friends who will read the book for you, who, in my case, will be your designer, and they're willing to work, in my case, for way less than they are worth. I just was lucky to stumble upon this wonderful cover designer, Lori Pagnozzi, who just blows me away. I mean, that they're absolute works of art, what she's able to come up with. And the fact that, you know, she'll give me six cover prototypes and we can only use one kind of breaks my heart because they're so nice to look at. Now, was that your experience, kind of asking friends to give it a read, give it an edit? How did you?
I developed it in workshops at the Hudson Valley Writers Center with a wonderful writer and a lifelong professor, Joanne Dobson, who just knows everything, as far as I can tell, about literature and is able to work with people who have totally different stories. Whatever your story is, she can deal with it. She can meet you and just act like an editor. In fact, when I first started writing for websites and magazines, I started writing for Tarrytown Patch, River Journal first, then Tarrytown Patch, and now Westchester Magazine. Working with the editors is really the same as that workshop.
Sure, Sure.
So that was a big help.
So yeah, I do want to. I'm glad you brought that up. The Hudson Valley Writers Center. It is in the Phillips Manor train station.
Yes, in Sleepy Hollow, and it's a beautiful place.
It is a beautiful place, right on the river, just at this old Tudor building. So are you a member there? Can anybody show up? How does this thing work? They do open mics there.
Yes, they have open mic nights. Those are third Fridays of the month. And that's if you want to read your work. If you want to take classes, if you want to take workshops or attend readings, you can look at writerscenter.org.
Okay.
And they have a beautiful website now. They have all kinds of things happening there. I just went to a reading. Joanne Dobson actually just gave a reading on Sunday. She has written a lot of mysteries, and she also wrote a book that is set partly in India and partly in 19th century New York. And because of the India aspect, they had a sitar player there and Indian food, and it was quite charming. So,
oh wow,
it was a full house too. So
yeah,
people might want to take a look.
Yeah, no, it's a great setup. I was when my first novel came out, I had not read in public in many years, so I took some pages there, and I think I got about 10 minutes or so, and they had a lot of people. They had about 30 people reading, and a very supportive group, and I just remember it being just a nice vibe, a cool setting. I remember it was maybe a 10-degree night with the wind whipping off the Hudson, but once you got inside, it was just this great historic little building and a very warm community of writers. So you're so well tied into the Tarrytown art scene. Are there many writers in that scene, or mostly painters?
I don't know too many writers other than the people that I've met at the Writers Center. I have my little art studio, so I may be missing some people.
Right.
I go there every day and put my nose to the computer screen, so or at the easel I'm not painting outdoors.
Okay. So. All right. Well, we've got to take a break here, but back in a jiff with Ronnie Levine, author of The Ice Cream Shop Detective.
And national news. Here is the latest update from Fox News Radio on 1460 WVOX.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. President Obama hosting Pope Francis at the White House.
On behalf of the American people, it is my great honor and privilege to welcome you to the United States of America.
The Pope getting into issues right away, saying climate change can no longer be left to a future generation, telling the president,
I find it encouraging that you are proposing an initiative for reducing air pollution.
He's meeting with President Obama now with a parade and mass in D.C. later today. He always said it ain't over till it's over. New York Yankees Hall of Fame catcher Yogi Berra has died at his home in New Jersey, 90 years old.
Berra played in more World Series games than any other major leaguer. He won 10 championships with the Yankees. He was also a World War II veteran and served on a gunboat supporting the D-Day invasion in 1944.
Fox News Radio's Tanya J. Powers. Fox News, we report. You decide.
I'm Dave Miranda, president of the New York State Bar Association. This year marks the 50th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act. The act helped all Americans enjoy their constitutional right to vote without unjust practices such as poll taxes, literacy tests, or violence. Join us in honoring those who fought to let their voices be heard at the ballot box this year and every election day by exercising your right to vote.
Sponsored by the New York State Bar Association.
This is an unsolicited testimonial, call it a commercial if you will, about a brilliant, dedicated young Mexican fellow. His name is Jesus Valencia, but he's one of the brightest, smartest, and hardest working tradesmen we've encountered. And especially what he does better than anyone we've found is roofing. He's like a Nureyev up there on the roof. He goes right to the problem and he fixes it permanently for a lot less than the big time roofing companies charge you. Jesus Valencia is his name. He's the best we've found in years. years at doing this. His number in Westchester for all kinds of roofing matters is 914-576-5596. I tell you, only the guy is really good. So I represent young Mr. Valencia to you only as a roofer who's bright and will work hard to fix up your roof. 576-5596.
I'm Catherine Miller, founder of the Miller Law Group in New Rochelle. Divorce is hard. People are uncertain and all kinds of fears come up. Divorce is also complicated. During divorce, you're untangling threads from so many aspects of your life, your finances, your children, your legal status. I believe in taking an integrative approach to divorce because divorce happens at the intersection of where you've been and where you're going. It should point you in the direction that you want to go in, taking into account the things that are important to you, taking into account your children. You have a choice as to how to make those decisions. You can do it with compassion and heart and focus rather than reaction, anger, with thoughts of revenge. Give me a call and let's talk about it. 914-738-7765 or find me online, www.westchesterfamilylaw.com.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather on 1460 WVOX.
A weather forecast for today calling for sunshine on this, the first day of autumn. High temperatures mid to upper 70s, northeast winds at 5 to 15. Then mostly clear tonight, overnight lows in the middle to upper 50s. Thursday, some patchy fog to start, then sunshine again, upper 70s near 80 degrees. Fair to partly cloudy at night near 60. Friday, mostly sunny, 73. Both Saturday and Sunday are looking sunny, lower 70s each day. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for 1460 WVOX.
Where many different voices are heard in the land. 1460 WVOX.
WVOX. Hello, good morning, and welcome back to Books and Beer. I am your host, Michael Malone, with Ronnie Levine, author of The Ice Cream Shop Detective, a murder mystery set in Tarrytown, New York. And Ronnie is actually going to read a little bit of the book for us today. We're very pleased to hear this delivered live. Ronnie, you want to kind of preface whatever it is you're going to read here?
Well, I'm going to start with just a little bit of a chapter in which the artist Lissa brings the detective to the Metropolitan Museum, takes him around to show him some of her favorite things, and tries to explain how she sees the copy work as different from the masterworks.
Okay.
I brought him to a Sir Thomas Lawrence painting called The Calmatty Children. We were lucky. A large easel was in front of it with a paint-spattered copyist hard at work. It looked like the new version was almost done. "Take a good look at it," I said softly to Nick. We stood just behind the artist. "Nice work," I said. He thanked me without looking up. I pulled gently on Nick's arm and we walked to the other side of the room. We could see both the copy and the original behind it. "Not bad," he whispered. "Pretty good in that it's the same features and the same clothing. What do you see in the expressions?" I asked. He didn't answer right away. Then he said, "Well, the kids in the copy look like they're uncomfortable. Their mouths and noses are a little pinched, and their eyes aren't open as wide as in the original." "Yes, that's exactly right. It doesn't come even close to capturing the vivacity of the older girl and the sweetness of the baby," I said. "Think of it this way. It's like Hamlet performed by a class of average seventh grade kids. The story is the same. They may be the exact words Shakespeare wrote, but seeing it is seeing it the same experience as being in the audience when it's performed by the world's best actors." So that's just an idea of what I'm trying to get across in the book, because I think people may be intimidated when they go to the museum. They see old-fashioned clothing. They see very traditional work. They figure photos are just as good, but there's something really, really special about the greatest masters, at least the ones that I admire, because it's almost like magic.
Right.
They almost make something alive.
Well, one thing that the book gets into, the originals and then copyists, people like you or me, more so you than me, that go to the museums and copy these great paintings, and the trained eye can see, even from an excellent copyist, something that's missing. And it's maybe not even something specific, but there is a certain kind of vibe that is lacking, a sense of character when the copyists do their copying.
Exactly, that spark of life. That's what I see is missing.
Yep.
And then the other thing I thought I would read is the prologue. Okay. When Danny didn't answer the door, I was annoyed. It didn't feel ominous at all. It was so like him. He'd practically begged me to come to his studio, and now he was leaving me out on this dark, cold, deserted side street. Where was he? I hesitated, then tried the door, which opened easily. Danny, I called out, then again, then louder the third time. Silence. Paintings were everywhere, on easels and stacked along the walls. Tables covered with paints, solvents, and mediums made the small room a maze. The piney, fruity aroma of turpentine mingled with the pungent smell of anchovies on a discarded slice of pizza. There was something else in the air, maybe some spoiled food. Not unusual for Danny, I thought. Strips of frame moldings shifted as I walked, and I winced when one hit me in the shins. A small heap of pastels and paper sat next to a palette with blobs of paint that appeared to have been freshly squeezed, not yet mixed to use. Danny? I tried again. My voice sounded a little shaky. Now it was beginning to feel wrong. He'd been so eager to talk to me. No answer. I could see books, stretched canvases, 6-foot-tall rows of canvas waiting to be stretched. I could see brushes and buckets and shelves and tabourets crammed with God knows what. The only thing I couldn't see was Danny. I went past a standing screen that I knew some of his models used when they took off their clothing. It wasn't that nude models are shy, of course, but most don't want to do a striptease. And there he was, lying on his back on the floor, his face contorted, lips curled back, skin blue, staring blindly at the ceiling, like the old-fashioned doll my grandmother had once given me. It had sparkling blue eyes that used to close when you laid it on its back, but eventually the connecting bands had snapped, and the doll could only stare into space. It had scared me. It was horrifyingly unresponsive, dead. Now Danny was unmistakably, unblinkingly dead. Or was he? With legs turning to jelly, I looked again. Danny was just the kind of immature guy to play some dumb trick. For a brief moment, I told myself it was staged, a tableau, performance art just for me. Please let it be that. But no, Danny wasn't having fun tonight. Danny would never have fun again. Dizziness overwhelmed me. I wanted to run, but I couldn't. I managed to find my cell phone, but I couldn't speak. How could this happen? It had to be some terrible, freaky accident. My knees began to buckle, and I grabbed onto a table to keep from falling. Tubes of yellow and red paint went flying. I turned around so I couldn't see Danny's horribly transformed face. I focused on the paintings until I could feel my legs again. I made it to the door. Once outside in the dry, crisp night, my shaking hands somehow found the directory entry for the Tarrytown PD, and I made the call. A calm, deep voice answered, "Police, what's your emergency?" Anyone with a voice like that could handle this a lot better than me, I was sure. I wanted him there right away, and Nick too. "Hurry." My voice was barely audible. Could he hear it? "Someone's dead." I gave him the address. I walked a few feet and looked toward Main Street, where things seemed impossibly normal. People were coming out of the hot dog place, steam rising as they unwrapped their small packages. Distant, barely audible voices murmured in front of the Tarrytown Theater, punctuated by a burst of exuberant laughter. People strolling down the street stopped to look in store windows. None of them knew that a young artist was lying dead in his studio. I wished I didn't. The sirens started almost immediately. Police cars filled the tiny street from both directions, slamming to a stop in front of me. "Where is he?" I'd seen the young officer a few times at Bellini's talking to Nick. I pointed to Danny's door, silently instructing myself to breathe in, breathe out. That's it.
Very good. Very good. Well written and well read, I should
add. Thank you. Thank you. I practiced.
Okay, no, I could tell. Was that a difficult bit to write there?
No, I think that was that came fairly easily. I had a little more trouble figuring out the the method of his death. I was new at writing mysteries, and I didn't want to write anything too ordinary. I didn't want to write anything that somebody might choose to copy. So I have to assure you that this method of death would work for maybe one person every 200 years.
Oh, really? Okay. Yes. It is a very unique method of death. I won't give it away. Readers will have to read, but it's certainly one that I had never read before. Who are your influences?
Well, I grew up loving Agatha Christie, Nancy Drew, of course, even before that. And I also wanted to put some humor into the book, although it wasn't in what I've read here, but it definitely goes through the book, some irony and some mistakes and all that. So I would say Susan Isaacs was one of my influences. It's not quite as, you know, quite as comical as some of her scenes, but I really like that part. And a lot of things that I read when I was younger, Victoria Holt, Barbara Michaels, all these women in danger kind of books, and okay. Not quite sure who to trust.
I gotcha. In terms of the fine arts, who are your influences on that side of?
Monet, definitely. Monet is one of my favorites, but there are so many other painters. Velázquez, major, major, wonderful painter. Las Meninas, that's one of the things I've seen in magazines. I've seen copies of some famous paintings, which is how I first realized that I could tell the difference, sure. At least a lot of the time. Las Meninas, the way it's painted, the strokes, the sensuality of the strokes, and the feeling in the people, it's you just can't sit down and copy that.
Right, very good. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back. We're going to hear from Derek Dellinger, the brewer of Kent Falls, and we're going to sample his wonderful, I'm sure, Farmer's Table. Back in a bit on Books and Beer.
World and national news. Here is the latest update from Fox News Radio on 1460 WVLX.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lillian Wu. Pope Francis speaks from the White House, calling on Americans to safeguard religious liberty, reject discrimination, and take action against climate change, which he calls a danger to our common home.
We can no longer be left to a future generation.
An Oval Office meeting following the remarks. The Chinese president, meanwhile, is in Seattle, where he'll address some of the top names in business. And a sheriff's deputy in the Florida panhandle gunned down delivering court papers.
64-year-old Okaloosa County Sheriff's Deputy Bill Myers had recently retired, but had come back on part-time. Sheriff Larry Ashley weighs in on the shooter, identified by his agency as 33-year-old Joel Dixon Smith.
He was just a sick little coward.
Smith shot to death by a local police tac team after a nearly two-hour standoff.
Cooper Davis with Fox News Radio affiliate WNRP. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Fox News on your time.
The Fox News iPad app is ready to go with all the great features from FoxNews.com and our iPhone app optimized specifically for your iPad.
Watch the latest clips from your favorite Fox News shows.
Personalize the app by creating your own newscast using the video playlist.
Listen to Fox News Radio live.
Get local weather forecasts.
And it's all free.
Go to FoxNews2Go.mobi.
That's Fox News, the number 2, Go.mobi.
Some people would call him a loser. He ran for state office. He was beaten. He started a business. He failed. He ran for Congress. He lost. He was nominated for vice president. He lost again. But he knew only those who never tried are the real losers. And Abraham Lincoln was no loser. Persistence. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Be sure to listen to WVOX Local News early mornings on Good Morning Westchester, brought to you exclusively by Trustco Bank. Trustco Bank, where you get free interest-bearing checking accounts, free debit cards, and completely free use of over 43,000 ATMs worldwide. Plus, pre-wards, which earns Be sure to listen to WVOX Local News early mornings on Good Morning Westchester, brought to you exclusively by Trustco Bank. Trustco Bank, where you get free interest-bearing checking accounts, free debit cards, and completely free use of over 43,000 ATMs worldwide. Plus, pre-wards, which earns you cash back. Move your money to Trustco Bank.
Now all over the world, 1460 WVOX.
WVOX.
Good morning. Welcome back to Books and Beer. I am your host, Michael Malone, here with Ronnie Levine, artist and author of The Ice Cream Shop Detective. And we've got a phone call here from Derek Dellinger, an author himself, and also does his arts in a brewing facility. He is the brewer at Kent Falls Brewing. We got Derek on the line here.
How's it going?
Good. How are you, my friend?
Pretty good.
You've been a busy man these days, getting a brewery off the ground and getting a book to publication. Am I right?
Yeah, it's been a hectic last couple of months. Doing both simultaneously has been a bit of a trip, but it's been real fun.
Good, good. So we've got the Farmer's Table here. Tell us what we're drinking.
The Farmer's Table is a sessionable table saison. So historic saisons were generally either kind of sour and tart or hoppy to sort of prevent the bacteria from souring them further. So I kind of try and do a little of each, and the Farmer's Table is kind of how I interpret the hoppier side of things. So it's very low ABV, so you can drink a lot of it. It's a style that, you know, used to be consumed in the field by farmhands. And rather than using European hops, we use some American hop varieties, stuff that we can grow here in the Northeast ourselves and eventually use in the beer. So it's got some citrusy American hops, some, like, grapefruit character and good juicy American hop flavors. Just a little light accent over the kind of light saison yeast profile.
Okay. And one thing I noticed that you certainly don't see from the macro brews, a little bit of sediment in the bottle here? Is that normal?
Yeah, exactly. Some breweries filter their beer. We don't filter anything. The yeast adds, character and complexity to it. I mean, it's what makes the, most of the flavor profile of the beer as unique as it is in the first place. So I kind of hate, removing that. I feel like it's sort of removing the essence of the beer in a way, for at least for certain styles. So it kind of adds to the mouthfeel, adds a little more, roundness to the, especially a light beer like that that's otherwise, could be kind of thin. And it'll help the age in the bottle so that, the yeast is a living organism and it's still in the bottle. It's still going to, develop and change over time. So just leave it in there and see what it does.
Sure, sure. And tell us about the book project, Derek.
So how it's coming or
give us a name. I should mention we had you on the show some time ago. The book, I believe, is called The Fermented Man, right?
Yep, Fermented Man, and I lived off of only fermented food for all of last year. Insane project to kind of immerse myself in the world of fermentation. Force myself to, try a bunch of new things and explore the health benefits of fermented foods and all the different cultured variations of fermented food from around the world, and went on some crazy trips and tried some crazy things and wrote about all those experiences for the book.
And when's it come out?
It's coming out hopefully spring and summer, spring or summer of next year. We're, I think, looking good to probably hit that deadline. I'm wrapping up the book now. I think it's actually finally just about done, fingers crossed. It's one of those things where you keep dividing by half and you never quite get to zero. It feels like as I'm sure you're familiar with, Mike, you can just keep working on the book, forever and ever and never really feel like you're finished. But I think we're about ready to send it into the final stages here. So hopefully it'll be wrapped up in a couple of months.
Yes. Well, a friend, author of mine, I once asked him, when do you know when you're officially done with the thing? He said, when you just can't bear to look at it for another second. So
yeah.
Not quite the epiphany we hope for, but at least we know when to get it out of our hands. Huh?
Yeah, exactly. Once it's out of my hands, then I no longer have to spend my weekends going over every new passage meticulously. It'll be a nice relief.
Good. Well, Derek, hey, thanks so much for the call in. Continued good luck with the book and with the brewery.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Mike.
Okay, take care.
Take care.
Okay, Ronnie, first of all, what'd you think of the label on this bottle here, you being an artist?
That's very pretty. A beautiful vineyard and some sort of animal.
Yep. It fitting that it's a vineyard, it did strike me as almost a wine-like beer, very crisp, very dry, a pretty pale kind of yellowy color, and it just some nice flavor. What'd you think? Mm-hmm. I know you're not a big beer drinker, and this is one kind of for the beer snobs, but is this was this accessible for you?
I thought it was nice. I thought it was a little fruity.
Yep.
Which I found very pleasant.
Yep. So Kent Falls Brewing up in Connecticut, Derek Dellinger really doing some interesting things and making a good name for himself in the brewing world and eventually in the publishing world as well. So we are happy to sample the Farmer's Table here on Books and Beer. Ronnie, we like to do the speed round on the show.
Okay.
Got your running shoes on here, ready to do
okay.
the speed round? Okay.
Go to it.
All right. Biggest character in Tarrytown?
I would have to say the river.
The river.
As you approach Tarrytown, you see it in the distance, and it just sets the mood for the whole day as far as I'm concerned. It's always changing, always different, always surprising.
Okay, good. If I could stare at only one work of art for the rest of my life.
Now that is a problem. That I can tell you some stunning ones. Las Meninas, as I mentioned, several Monets, Camille Monet on a garden bench with a very economical expression of personality. You feel you're with these people, this Madame Monet and a neighbor. And they have very distinct personalities. Manet's, the railway with a little tiny dog who it's just the cutest thing, and a woman and a child. I can't narrow it down to
that. Oh, these people are dead. You can single one out. No, nobody's feelings will be hurt.
Well, no, it's no? not
okay.
That. I hate to think of losing the others.
I got you. Okay. If I could have just one book for the rest of my life.
That would have to be a big, big, big history of art.
Okay. Finish the sentence. The Westchester arts scene is
livelier than Manhattan-centered people realize.
Really?
I think so. Yeah, I think there's a lot of good work being done here, and it doesn't necessarily fit in with Art in America standards, but I look at Art in America sometimes and I say, what are they thinking?
Yeah.
And of course, the standards are set by very few people at the top, and if they have quirky taste, and that's what we're all told is great, a lot of people are afraid to say, maybe not.
The politics of art, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you reference Peekskill quite a bit in the book as a lively little art scene. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I don't know Peekskill too well, but I know that it's got a lot of galleries, and it just seemed like a good place to set it. It's a fictional contemporary arts museum.
Mm-hmm.
I had Dia Beacon somewhat in mind, but I haven't been there. Life is short, and I focus on what's important to me, and I've read about it. It's not for me. So I also modeled the physical aspect of the Contemporary Arts Museum somewhat on the Hudson River Museum. But
okay,
it's fictional.
Okay. It's interesting. Peekskill, also the home of a brewery. I'm sure you wouldn't know this, but Peekskill Brewery, where they're making some really well-crafted little beers. And it seems as though those scenes go hand in hand. Epitomized in our friend Derek, but brewing and arts, that seems like they're kind of maybe the same side of the brain or so.
Well, I'm sure Danny would agree with you.
if he could. Okay. You referenced your journalism before, writing a bit for Westchester Magazine.
Yeah, I've done several profiles for their neighbor column. The most recent one was David Tutman, who is a cinematographer who's done some major TV shows, starting out with Law and Order and more recently Royal Pains, is it? I didn't have my list with me, but The Following was his most recent one.
Oh, okay.
That I know of.
That was creepy.
Yeah, I did an article about a man who makes robots, and I did actually one about a very top literary agent, Deborah Schneider, and mentioned that I'd written a book, but...
Oh, by the way.
She did not look like she wanted to discuss it, so I dropped it.
Not right for her at this time, right?
Well,
as the agents say.
Yeah, she didn't even want to hear about it. So obviously, I didn't want it to sound like, you know, the article might not be as good if you don't listen to this.
Right.
I dropped it immediately. But Margot Stever, who is the founder of the Hudson Valley Writers Center, who also has done so many other things, she won prizes in horseback riding in categories that involved ages. She did very well for a woman who was not the youngest there. She did lots of jumps and things. Amazing woman. Mm. And Robin Lamond, who is a former assistant district attorney, who also was in, I should have reviewed this. She was a performer years ago when she was young, and she had a hit song, and again, I should have looked at it. It's a song that most older people would know, but I forgot to look it up.
Oh, it's okay. Next time.
And I also have written for River Journal, as I mentioned. That's where I started out, and Tarrytown Patch, when it was really local coverage.
Right. Before they laid off all the patch people, huh?
Yeah. When they still had a budget for freelancers. Right. That was a great experience, writing about the Tarrytown art scene.
Sure.
First about my own work and then about other people's shows and events.
So one thing I know about detective novels is that it's kind of a franchisable concept. Is this something where you could do another book?
Oh, I am. I am working on another one with Lissa and Nick. And they, well, I don't want to give away too much, but yeah. Yeah, I think they're good characters that I enjoy and could live with for another couple of years while I develop it.
Good.
It's maybe 50 or 60 pages along at this point.
All right. Well, we are out of time, but a huge thank you to Ronnie Levine, author of The Ice Cream Shop Detective, for coming on the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Good.
It was fun.
Good. I'm glad. And we'll be back in 2 weeks with Troy Lewis, author of the memoir Gas Money. This is Mike Malone signing off from Books and Beer.